Can I be honest for a second? A lot of people who listen to this podcast already know they want to quit porn. That's not the problem. The problem is doing it consistently, when no one's watching, when it's difficult, when it's late, when you're stressed. Instead of just relying on willpower, rely on our friends at Relay. Relay gives you structure, tools, support, connection. So you're not fighting alone and starting over every week. If that sounds like what you've been missing, check it out at ftnd.org/joinrelay. Here at Fight the New Drug, we talk a lot about the impact pornography can have on mental health, relationships, sexual health, and the world around us. And if you've felt that impact personally, it's important to know this. You're not alone. That's why Relay exists. Relay is an app designed to give you real support as you work toward lasting change. It connects you with a small, private group of people who understand what you're going through, people who show up when it matters. Relay isn't about shame or judgment. It's about accountability, encouragement, and learning how to move forward together. And if anonymity matters to you, Relay has you covered. No names, just support. If you're ready to stop doing this alone, try Relay for free today at ftnd.org/joinrelay.
This podcast is made possible by Fighter Club. If you're looking for a way to become a more active part of this movement, consider joining Fighter Club today. For as little as $10 a month, you can create a real impact by supporting our efforts to educate and raise awareness on the harms of porn. Plus, by joining, you can get insider info, 30% off all Fight the New Drugs conversation starting gear, access to our secret store, and an exclusive Fighter Club kit sent to you when you sign up. For a limited time, when you join Fighter Club, you'll get a free Fight the New Drug hat as a thank you. Join Fighter Club today at ftnd.org/joinfc. That's ftnd.org/joinfc. See you in the club.
My name is Garrett Johnson, and you're listening to Consider Before Consuming, a podcast by Fight the New Drug. And in case you're new here, Fight the New Drug is a non-religious and non-legislative organization that exists to provide individuals the opportunity to make an informed decision regarding pornography by raising awareness on its harmful effects using only science, facts, and personal accounts. During these episodes, we cover a wide variety of topics that may be triggering to some. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to part 10 of our Get the Facts series, where we explore the research on a specific topic surrounding porn's harms on individuals, relationships, and society to help you be more informed and empowered with the facts. Today's episode is how porn can normalize sexual objectification. You can find the sources to the claims made in this episode or read along at ftnd.org/get the facts. Now, let's get to the episode. We've all been impacted in recent years as the Me Too movement has cast more light on the prevalence of sexual violence in our culture. Courageous victims of sexual assault have come forward with heartbreaking stories, leaving many of us asking what we can do in the face of such a monumental issue, knowing that we can't let the choruses of Me Too's be drowned out by the deafening silence of inaction. But despite efforts to curb sexual violence, there remains a high prevalence of sexual assault on college campuses, sexual harassment in work settings, and sex trafficking around the world. On the surface, these different forms of sexual violence may not appear to be connected to each other. But in truth, experts are increasingly recognizing that they may all stem from one common source: sexual objectification. Sexual objectification occurs when people perceive others as sex objects, rather than complex human beings deserving of dignity and respect. In fact, in a review of research on sexual violence, two leading experts called sexual objectification the common thread that connects different forms of sexual violence. Each one of us can play a part in creating a healthier culture that rejects the normalization of sexual violence. And that starts not only with putting an end to sexually inappropriate and harmful behaviors, but also putting an end to attitudes that support objectification or dehumanization. If sexual violence starts with viewing others as sexual objects, then it's important to discuss the role pornography can play. Research consistently shows that porn can play a big role in teaching viewers to consume people as products for their own personal sexual satisfaction, which can ultimately have unhealthy consequences for individuals, relationships, and for the cultures in which we live. Not long ago, Princeton and Stanford psychologists performed a study showing a group of men two sets of pictures. Some of fully clothed women and others of women who had been sexualized and were barely clothed. The psychologists monitored their medial prefrontal cortex, which is the part of the brain involved in recognizing human faces and distinguishing one person from another. For the most part, the medial prefrontal cortex part of the brain was activated with each picture. However, when the subjects of the study were shown the pictures of sexualized women, this part of the brain was not activated. Basically, the automatic reaction in their brains suggested that they didn't perceive the sexualized women as fully human. Rather, they saw them as objects, focusing on their bodies and body parts. The researchers concluded, and I quote, "Sexualized women were perceived as having the least control over their own lives, and this suggests that sexualized women are more closely associated with being the objects, not the agents, of action, as compared to clothed women." End quote. Pornography promotes what is often referred to as the objectifying gaze. As researchers Tracy Tilka and Ashley Kroon Van Diest note, and I quote, "Women in pornography are presented as the object of this sexual gaze, and they are defined according to how they will bring pleasure to the observer." End quote. The people in pornography are often explicitly presented as objects, and porn videos are often listed and labeled with the specific acts they perform or physical attributes they possess so the observer can order porn that fits their exact expectations. With so many people consuming pornography, is it any wonder that many are developing attitudes of sexual entitlement and objectification? Reducing people to physical terms and self-serving labels is the exact type of sexual objectification that sets the stage for sexual violence. In fact, research routinely shows that frequent porn consumers are more likely to sexually objectify and dehumanize others, more likely to express an intent to rape, less likely to intervene during a sexual assault, more likely to victim blame survivors of sexual violence, more likely to support violence against women, more likely to forward sex without consent, and more likely to commit actual acts of sexual violence. The following quote is from a woman who was part of an interview-based research study of women whose male partners frequently consume pornography, and is describing the experience of internalized sexual objectification when someone starts to view themselves as an object that exists for others' sexual pleasure. And I quote, "I am no longer a sexual person or partner to him, but a sexual object. He is not really with me when we have intercourse. He seems to be thinking about something or someone else, likely those porn women. Or he is just inserting me to play a role in some novel sexual scenario that he saw somewhere. He is just using me as a warm body." End quote. With this in mind, it's not surprising that research shows that feeling sexually objectified is linked to a variety of negative psychological outcomes, including body shame, eating disorders, and depression. Experts have found that female partners of males who consume pornography express feeling more sexually objectified as a result of their partner's porn habits. For example, studies have shown that when women know that their male partners view pornography, their concern regarding their partner's sexual attraction toward their own body increases. This seems to be the natural consequence of women becoming aware that their male partner is watching and assessing other women's bodies, likely causing her to focus on how her partner could be watching and assessing her body. As researchers explain, and I quote, "She likely self-objectifies by adopting her partner's perspective of her own body." End quote. The objectifying influence of pornography can also be intensified by the impossible beauty standards and lack of body diversity portrayed in mainstream porn. Two leading scholars summarized this effect, and I quote, "Women in pornography tend to conform to cultural beauty ideals, i.e. they are thin or curvaceously thin, with a small waist and an average to large bust size. For example, the average Playboy model has a body mass index of 18, which is underweight. a large bust-to-waist ratio, and a bra cup size between C and D. Therefore, knowing that her male partner is looking at and likely becoming aroused by thin or curvaceously thin women in pornography could heighten a woman's body focus and pressure to lose weight. End quote. Putting these ideas to the test, this gender equality-informed study found that porn consumption by both past and present romantic partners can contribute to the sexual objectification of women and is negatively linked to their well-being. Specifically, this study found that previous partners' pornography consumption predicted women's level of feeling sexually objectified, higher levels of body shame, and even led to increased eating disorder symptomatology. The researchers concluded, and I quote, "These women reported feeling that their male partner transferred the objectifying treatment of women in pornography onto them," end quote. No wonder many partners of porn consumers end up feeling depressed, anxious, and like they can never measure up to the impossible standard of porn. In porn, mistakes are edited out, and flaws are photoshopped away. Porn actors often have a whole team there to make them look fantastic, and once their best performance is captured on film, it never ages. Who wants to compete with that? Obviously, porn is not an accurate representation of how everyday people look or how sex and intimacy work in real-life relationships. Yet the research shows that porn can, and does, shape the way that consumers think about others and about sex. Real connection starts with seeing others as whole people, with unique thoughts, feelings, dreams, struggles, and lives. Viewing people as products is harmful to individuals, relationships, and ultimately society as a whole. The collective, private actions of millions affect the larger culture. Objectifying others privately, on our screens, doesn't inspire respect and dignity in public. The private impacts the public. That's how culture works. If we want a culture of true respect and equality, then we need to make sure we think about, talk about, and treat others as whole people, not as objects.
We're a global movement of over 6 million fighters worldwide. We're continually growing, and it is because of our fighters that our resources have been able to educate and raise awareness on this issue across the globe. Included in our globalization efforts are our ongoing translation projects, which involve professionally translating select materials and resources into other languages. See what translated resources we have, including our documentary, Brain Hard World in Spanish, our conversation guide, Let's Talk About Porn, and more. Visit ftnd.org/translations. That's ftnd.org/translations.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Consider Before Consuming. Consider Before Consuming is brought to you by Fight the New Drug. Fight the New Drug is a non-religious and non-legislative organization that exists to provide individuals the opportunity to make an informed decision regarding pornography by raising awareness on its harmful effects using only science, facts, and personal accounts. If you've benefited from listening to Consider Before Consuming, consider subscribing and leaving a review. Again, big thanks to you for listening to this episode. As you go about your day, we invite you to increase your self-awareness, look both ways, check your blind spots, and consider before consuming.
Can I be honest for a second? A lot of people who listen to this podcast already know they want to quit porn. That's not the problem. The problem is doing it consistently. When no one's watching, when it's difficult, when it's late, when you're stressed. Instead of just relying on willpower, rely on our friends at Relay. Relay gives you structure, tools, support, connection. So you're not fighting alone and starting over every week. If that sounds like what you've been missing, check it out at ftnd.org/joinrelay. Here at Fight the New Drug, we talk a lot about the impact pornography can have on mental health, relationships, sexual health, and the world around us. And if you've felt that impact personally, it's important to know this. You're not alone. That's why Relay exists. Relay is an app designed to give you real support as you work toward lasting change. It connects you with a small, private group of people who understand what you're going through, people who show up when it matters. Relay isn't about shame or judgment. It's about accountability, encouragement, and learning how to move forward together. And if anonymity matters to you, Relay has you covered. No names, just support. If you're ready to stop doing this alone, try Relay for free today at ftnd.org/joinrelay.